You know, I drive past a lot of little country churches, and I there's a bond. I think about them. I look at them. You know, some little churches out in the country, there are people who keep the grounds up. They go and they keep them painted, and they'll cut the grass. And every now and then, maybe once a month, some of the old members will have a meeting there, but they don't have a meeting in those churches anymore. You know, when I ride past them, and I passed some this morning driving in, I thought if people understood the things of God, every alarm clock would have went off this morning. Every person that could have been in driving distance would have been here. Do you know that Paulding County, per capita, has fewer churches than any county in the state of Georgia? That's difficult for me to understand, but they said the population has grown so much that if the people were to go to church, the churches would not hold them. I ride past these churches and I look at them and I can see the history and I can feel it and I think about the things of God. God's important to me. And I'm glad that God was important enough to you this morning that you come to the house of the Lord. Thank you for what you do for God, and thank you for being here. If you got your Bible, we're going to read out of John chapter number 6. And I may have to pull this thick towel off. It was hard enough singing with it. I wouldn't have been able to sing if the songs I were singing were about the subject I'm going to preach about, because the problem I have with singing is I get up and go to singing, and I want to stop and preach. And it takes the Lord helping me with that. But I want to just bring this thought to you this morning. Have you ever had questions? Have you ever asked God? I think the answer, if we were to be perfectly honest and be true, is everyone has. I've seen people in their life go through circumstances and situations to where they say they lose their faith because they cannot believe God would allow, and then they fill in the blank. Or they say, I would not believe that God would allow or that God would permit or that God did, and they fill in the blank. And then they turn around with the same breath and they say they deny God, and then they turn around and say, well, you know, I'm mad at God or it's all God's fault. How can you be mad at someone who does not exist? You know, the truth is we all have questions, all of us. And also the truth is, I don't know that we'll ever have answers to all those questions. I'm come to the point in my life, and I'm going to try to bring this out as we look at this scripture this morning, that I realize and I must accept the fact that God is God and I am not. And as we go through this life, we're not always going to have all the answers. Let's read in John chapter number 6. I want to read the 35th verse, then I want to go to verse number 48 and read. And I want you to listen to this story because we're going to walk through this story. And if you understand it written in its context, how many people, when they heard Jesus speak, they turned and walked away from him. They left him and they walked no more with him, just like I mentioned a minute ago. Starting out with God, but all of a sudden something in our lives we don't understand or we don't have the answer to, and we turn from God. John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said this. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Then we go down to the 48th verse, and Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth this flesh and drinketh my blood and hath eternal life, and he that raiseth him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. This is the as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, and he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. That's hard to understand right there. Let's read on. It says, these things saith he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it, or who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Now he's telling them these things. It was hard for them to understand when he said, you must eat my flesh and you must drink my blood. And they said, how can this be understood? This is difficult to understand. And then he goes on to tell them in the 63rd verse that this is a spiritual thing that you must understand spiritually. It wasn't naturally that they would eat the body and the blood of Jesus, but it was that they must accept. He was trying to explain to them, to get them to see the picture, that he had to come into the world to die. And by his suffering and by the shedding of his blood, they could have life. But they didn't understand it. It was difficult. It was such a hard saying that the scripture says that many that walked with him turned and went away. In the 64th verse, he begins to say why. He said, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given of him, of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, this is the 12 disciples, will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, as we look at this scripture, I want to break it down for just a minute, and I want us just to make sure that we understand. If you look back at the 60th verse, these words were very difficult to understand. The people simply could not understand what Jesus was saying to them. Sometimes it's like when you begin to try to explain that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Not everybody can even grasp that. It's like the song that we sang in the beginning, the blood-bought church. Now, as Christians, we understand, and the Bible teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. But all the world doesn't understand that. Jesus questioned in the 61st verse, doth this offend you? Now, I want you to think about it for just a minute, because the fact is, and we're going to talk about it, I believe every person at some point has been offended at God. They questioned, doth this offend you? Because the people could not understand it. You know, they wanted a Savior, they wanted a deliverer, but what they wanted really was somebody to come and deliver them from Roman rule. They wanted a king to come and set up a kingdom on this earth. Like a lot of people, they want God when God gives them everything that they want him to give them. Jesus tells them in the 63rd verse, these words must be understood from a spiritual perspective. In John chapter number 4, Jesus met a woman at the well. And he tells her, they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. When we look at this scripture today, perhaps because we have the full four Gospels written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have preachers preaching and proclaiming. We have Sunday school teachers. We have Awana teachers. And we say, well, why was it so hard for them to understand? They did not have the written Gospels at this time. They did not have the things that support even the writings of Paul that explain the Old and the New Covenant, that talk about the grace of God, that talk about without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. All they had and what they had was the time that they spent walking and following Jesus. In the 66th verse, because they did not understand what he was saying, many of them left him. Maybe if they had just slowed down their response. Do you know that sometimes in your relationship with God, the thing that you have to do is just be still? If you don't learn to be still, sometimes you will go the wrong way. You'll make the wrong decision. You'll react too quickly, or you will not be in a position that you are following God. In this place, when many of them turned and went away, Jesus turned in this scripture and he looked at his disciples, the 12 that were chosen. He said, will you also go away? And Simon Peter, the one who was often quick to speak up, the one who is also often quick to get in trouble, he spoke up and he said this, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. It's almost like this. Where else is there for us to go? We don't understand everything. We're not sure about everything. But where else is there? He said, to whom shall we go? And I want you to think about Peter for just a minute. Now remember, this is the sixth chapter of John. Can you imagine puzzled Peter as he stands there? I don't believe Peter stood in front of the Lord and he had all the answers himself. I don't believe he understood everything himself. But have you ever come to the place in your life that you question God and you don't really have all the answers? You know what you got to do? You got to slow down just a little bit. And you got to start praying. You got to start remembering. Now I can just about see Peter as he's standing there in front of the Lord. And the Lord asked, will you also go away? He said, where are we going to go? For you have the words of eternal life. And I can just about see the memory scroll start rolling in Peter's mind. Because if we get to this point in John chapter number 6, and you go back to John chapter number 1 and verse number 42, I can just about see Peter saying, Lord, I remember when you called me, and you told me that my name would be Cephas, which means a stone. Then it rolls through his mind, and this is found in John chapter 2, verse 1, through 11, where Peter was there at the first miracle, and he says, Lord, I remember and I saw when you turned the water into wine. You move on to John chapter 3, and I can just about see Peter saying, Lord, I remember when you spoke to Nicodemus, and it was another hard saying, when you told him that we must be born again. How can we be born again? And Lord, you explained it to us that it was not natural, but it was spiritual. You go a little farther in the third chapter of John, and Peter might have said this. Lord, I heard what John the Baptist said about you. He said that he that believeth on you, the Son, hath everlasting life. And he believeth not on you, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Then you can move a little farther in John chapter number 4, verse number 1 through 42, as we mentioned. And Jesus was there, and he met the woman at the well, and whom the Jews have no dealings with. And God, I saw how that you're talking to her, this Samaritan woman. It not only changed her life, but I saw how that her testimony went back into her own people. And it changed many lives. John chapter number 4, verse 43, Peter could have said, Lord, I saw how you healed the nobleman's son. John chapter number 5, verse 1 through 16, Peter could have said, Lord, I saw how you healed the man at the pool of Bethesda who had an infirmity for 38 years. Further in the book of John chapter 5, he could have said, I saw how your words of wisdom pushed back the Jews who sought to kill you, and I saw how you challenged them with the scriptures and the writings of Moses. I saw how you told them that if they believed Moses, they would have believed in you, for he wrote of you. And I just recently saw, Lord, how you took 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 men and women and children besides. And Lord, we took up 12 baskets. And then I will never forget when we were out on the sea and the waves were tossing the boat and we were so afraid. Lord, I saw you walking on the water. Lord, I don't understand everything, but one thing I know, Lord, there ain't nobody like you. I might not understand everything you say, and I might not know everything that's going to happen, but there's nobody like you. And I've seen things that you do, and I know the relationship that I have with you in my life. And I'm not going anywhere. It's not because I have all the answers. It's not because I understand everything. But where else are we going to go? For you have the words of eternal life. You see, as we look at this scripture and we look at them, and sometimes it's easy to be what we call an armchair quarterback. Or isn't the saying, hindsight is 20/20. Well, what about where we're in the day in our life and we're in the moment of our life that even though we've known God and we've walked with God and we've had experiences with God and we've saw God do mighty things, we come up against times in our life that we question God. We question why, we question where, what, how, when. The truth is, we've all questioned God. What's believed to be the oldest book of the Bible in the book of Job, chapter number 23. I want to read verse 1 through 7. It says, then Job answered and said, he's pleading before God. He said, even today is my complaint bitter and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. And I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. You know what he's saying? It's almost like Job is shaking his fist at God. There's a lot of people done that. A lot of people have done that. They go out and say, God, why did you let my grandmother die? I've heard people say that. Grandmother might be 80, 85 years old, but they still find a way somehow to blame God. And you say, well, you know, life only lasts so long. Well, we can go with that one, but what about the time that we get in a situation and you know what it's like to love your children? We love our children. You don't have to be saved to love your children. We just understand the relationship because of what God has done for us when we read what he said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Only thing I can explain to you about that is you need to know how much you love your children to understand. You ever question God? God, why did my child have to die? You know, I was standing out this morning looking at the board that we have on the wall and looking at the names of the people that are no longer here that have gone to be with Jesus since I've come to this church. And as I went through the names, there were some that were young and there were some that are old. Job said, if I could just stand before you, I would present my arguments to you and I'd listen to what you'd have to say to me. But I want you to understand, Job also, like Peter, had a relationship with God. Because in the sixth verse, he turns his words and he says this, will he, speaking of God, plead against me with his great power? But no, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. See, Job would question God, but he also understood who God was. And if you go to the end of the book, Job and his relationship with God, because of what he went through, because he stayed with God and he did not leave God, even when his wife looked at him, when he was not only in loss of his children, loss of his property, but in sickness upon his body, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you talk like a foolish woman. And he scraped himself, and sometimes this is where it's difficult. It's the most difficult. Job went and sat down in sackcloth and ashes, scraping the boils from his body, grieving in his heart from the loss of his children, grieving the loss of the things that he had worked his entire life to accumulate. And just like you and me, he said, why? Why did my loved one have to die? Why did he have to be the one to get sick? Sometimes I hear stories that as a preacher and as a Christian, and you know, working on a job, if you're a Christian, let me tell you something, people are going to want you to pray for. You just live for God. There's not a lot of help out in this world. They think they have all the answers, but you and I know, and the world also knows, that the word of the day at school and trying to educate is not going to replace a personal relationship with God. It's not going to replace time in the altar. It's not going to replace being in the house of God as a Christian. And nothing is going to replace our prayers seeking God to lead this country. A few weeks ago, I had a lady come to my door. And she come in, like I've had this before. She said, I need you to pray about something. She told me the story, and this has just recently happened, of a man who in a family who was a Christian, and the dad was out on the tractor. And he was bush hogging in the yard, and he had a boy that was outside. He was 5 years old. And he said, son, your mama's calling. I want you to go on in and get you something to eat or whatever. And he went in. And then just a little while later, he just felt a bump behind him. And he got off the tractor to check, and the feet of his son were sticking out from under the tractor. The lady asked me to pray for him. She said, pray for that mama, pray for that daddy. If you can imagine, hey, they still need prayer. That was about 6 weeks ago. The truth is, and you know it, it takes the grace of God for us to be able to get through things. Pray for that mom and daddy. That dad had no idea how that little boy got under that bush hog. Somehow he probably come running up behind his daddy, and you know how it is, you can get between the tractor and the bush hog, and the little boy lost. And when I heard that prayer request, you know what? I did not have the words. I did not know why. I did not know how to explain. I did not understand. But all I could do is look up and say, God, I know that you know we're not going to have all the answers in this life. But you're God and you've always been God and you're still God today. He's God in the midst of our circumstances. He's God in the midst of our trouble. I heard another story that probably is more profound than that one. And when I heard it, I was so shocked, it offended me. A Christian family, a Christian lady, had a 3-year-old daughter, a 4-year-old son, and a 5-year-old son. Lived out way out in East Georgia. And the little boys, just like a lot of times they do, they'll go outside and play, and they're running around the house, and the mama heard them scream. And you know what it's like as a mama or a dad? I can tell they're just fighting or they're hurt. Mama said she heard them scream and she knew from the scream they needed her, they were hurting. And she said she ran out the back door trying to find them, ran round and around the house till she finally realized they had crawled in the crawl space of the house and they were under the house. She said, I opened the door and crawled on my hands and knees and got them by the feet and pulled them out. They had gotten under the house, and both of them had gotten into some rattlesnakes. And you can imagine what it's like to be stung by some bees. Let me tell you something. Rattlesnakes, from what I have been told, is a brutally painful bite. As the little boy screamed, and mother, just like you would be, just like I would be, she panicked, and she pulled them out, and she was in a hysterical state, and she took them, and she threw them in the back seat of the car, and she was trying to rush them to the hospital, and in her rush, and in her concern, and in her watching for her boys, she ended up backing over her daughter. And when I heard this story, I was overwhelmed. And one day she lost all three of her children. And you say, well, why, God? How can this be? And the truth is, it's just like what we see in this scripture. There are things that are going to occur in mine and your life that we absolutely are not going to have the answers for. Amen. Your preacher's not going to have the answers. Your Sunday school teacher's not going to have the answers. Your deacon is not going to have the answers. And we get to this point in our life, and we hear these stories, and the question, the truth is, does this offend you? The answer is probably yes. Because we don't understand everything that there is that we face in this life. But remember what the Bible says. There's a curse. I have a message that I preached that says there is a curve. The curve is the grace of God. And then there's a cure. The cure is salvation in eternity with Christ. You see, we don't understand why, and then sometimes it's where. You know, sometimes people come to us in our grief, and I've heard this, and you want to be careful how you respond to somebody that's really grieving because you don't have the answers. Ever had anybody come up to you, hear them say, oh, they're better off, they're in heaven? That doesn't encourage them. You think that mama of that boy or those children that got lost that one day would have been able to say, oh, I understand that? You know, what it takes is the grace of God and time. It takes time, and it takes God moving in such a way that He can come into your life and sit down beside you, and God puts His arm around you, and at the right time, in God's time, when you're ready to receive it, God will pour out grace on you, but it takes time sometimes. I will tell you today that the lady who lost those three children in one day, God has given her more children. And her husband are serving God today. And there are people who hear that story and they don't understand it, but there's a testimony of that mama and daddy that say, you know, we're not going to go away, for He has the words of eternal life. We don't understand it all, but we know that He's God. He saved us. He's our King. And one day, yes, we will see our children again. The Bible says that Job was given twice as much as he had to start with. Why? Because if your children are your children here, just because they're gone don't mean they're not yours anymore. They're just gone from our sight, and we'll see them in just a little while. Amen. God gave Job just as many as he had here, and he's got those other ones in heaven. And by this day and time in life, Job is reunited with all of his children. We don't understand it all. You know what you begin to think about sometimes? And I thought about it as I looked at the board this morning. And I looked, and my mother's name's on the board. We've got friends on the board, some of them young, some of them old. You've got spouses, husbands. You ever think about where is heaven? Where is it? You know that song, How Far Is Heaven? The Bible says this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, the problem we have is we try to understand everything within the concepts of what our minds will allow and how they work, not realizing that the Bible teaches us that God is everywhere present and nowhere absent. We think about the speed of sound. We think about the speed of light. But if we could travel at the speed of thought, and immediately we'd be with God. I love to watch those movies like Heaven Is For Real. And I'll just tell you why I like to watch them. Because I believe that stuff. Amen. I've heard testimonies of people say, God just allowed me to see a little bit. Paul told us, he said, God allowed me to be drawn up to the third heaven. And he said, I saw things that were too wonderful. I can't even write about them. Don't even know how to explain it. Don't know all the answers. But I believe it's there. What about what? You ever said, what? God, what are you trying to, God, what are you trying to do in my life? I do. I think that at work sometimes. I say, God, do you know this place is here? Do you hear me, God? Do you hear me when I cry out to you? And then you say, how? God, how are you going to accomplish this task? God, I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to be faithful. But God, how are you going to deal with this situation? And then we say, when? Don't we say, when? We ever got to the point that we're so eager and so anxious for God to do something that we just say, God, when are you actually going to answer my prayer? When are you going to move? When are you going to do it? And I must come to the conclusion sometimes and bring myself back in to realize that with a finite mind, it is impossible for me to understand everything there is to know about an infinite God. Could you imagine if God were willing to roll back the scroll of heaven for just a minute and let you see everything that's there. Let you see the loved ones. Even in the harshest situations, let that mother see those children. Be able to see the glory of God. Be able to see and sometimes even have God come on the scene and begin to tell us that he doesn't have to do it, but tell us in his wisdom why and how things happen. The truth is, I don't believe if he did that I would really be able to even to understand. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, he wrote, he said, when I consider you, O God, what is man that you are mindful of him? In other words, when I look at how great you are, your majesty, O God, what is man? See, the truth is, for me and for you, for all of us, for the world, we have many questions. And we will not have all of the answers while we're here on this earth. There's scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's speaking of the love of God and the way God loves. And Paul gives us some insight that will help us understand. And he said, for now we know in part. We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, or when I became mature, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. There's been things about Scripture. Sometimes people come up to me and they say, well, Pastor, I want to ask you a question about the Bible. Now, you know what? When y'all ask me that, here's what I'm doing. I'm praying. I'm praying, God, help me. If I have the answer, I'll tell you. But I want to tell you something. If I don't, I'm not going to give you a bunch of mumbo jumbo. And if it's about the book of Revelation, I'm going to say, ask 50 people. You'll get 50 answers. Okay? People ask questions. We ask questions. Sometimes it's why. Sometimes it's, God, where are you? And I've had questions. And I can remember what a wise man said to me. He said, do not let the things that you do understand be overridden by the things that you don't. Peter said, Lord, I know you have the words of eternal life. I don't understand everything. I don't know everything. But I know there ain't nobody like you, oh God. So what about you and me? We don't have all the questions. But if you know who God is, I want you to know God has not changed. There's a young lady that I grew up with. She's 2 years younger than me. Sunday school, you know, like a sister. Very good friends of ours. A pastor, the man I consider my pastor. They had a daughter who had married, 21 years old, she was expecting twin boys. She passed away at 22. She would not allow the treatments because she didn't want to do anything to harm those boys. My mother buried my sister at 3 years old. Had a tumor on the side of her face that came out rather than going in. As I stand in this church and I hear the prayer request and I hear the things that are going on in people's lives, everybody's going through something. Everybody's got something going on in their life. And the only thing that I know to tell you that I can understand, that I know is true, is He is God and we are not. And if we will be faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us. Because here's what happens in our life. When we go through trials and tribulations and troubles and we come to the point in our life that we cannot walk any farther. And we get there sometimes. I remember my mother telling me the story that when my sister died, she took me to school, and I went to Bolton Road Elementary School. And she would drive over to the graveyard, just a couple of miles away on South Cub Drive. And she would sit on my sister's grave until it was time to come back and pick me up. And she did that for a year. You know what some people say? Well, just get up. Just get over it. I'll tell you when you're going to be able to get up and get over it. It's when the grace of God comes flushing in and you get to the point in your life that you are willing to accept that grace. I can't answer that. I can't give you a time slot on that, but I can tell you this much. When the time comes in your life, if you keep coming, if you keep staying, if you keep listening, if you keep walking after God, when you're ready, God's grace will come in. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to read just a couple of more verses, and then we're going to ask them to come on the song. Romans chapter number 8, very familiar scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28 says this, and we know, difficult to understand. But we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Certainly, we're not always going to see that, but it takes time. We go down to the 35th verse, says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? No. Can I tell you this? Nothing that happens in my life, no tragedy, no loss, no enemy, is going to take me out of the hand of God. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to ask them to get ready and come with a song. And here's what I want to tell you, where I'm at in my relationship with God. Sometimes I just need me and God to talk. I don't care if it's sitting on the back porch, if it's driving down the road, if it's in church on Sunday morning. Now, I need to talk to him before then, but you know, there ain't nothing like you moving and responding to the Spirit of God when the Spirit of God speaks to you. Sometimes I just need to talk to God. Because here's what happens sometimes in a relationship with God. We can be like Job. We can be hurting. And the hurt of our life causes us to get at odds with God because we don't understand it. Like it's like those that went away. When in reality, you don't always have to understand. But what you always have to have is you always have to have fellowship with the Father, or you're going to know there's a distance. And sometimes what we need is we just need God to wrap his arms around us. As they sing this song this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. You need to know him. You need to know him more than you know anything else, because you're going to spend eternity somewhere. But if you're here this morning and there's anything on your heart or your life that you've been talking to God about, maybe right now you just need to talk to him. Maybe you need to pray for somebody. Would you please stand to your feet and just let God love on you this morning? If you want to pray, come pray. If you want to pray where you're at, but let God be God in your life this morning as they sing this song.
She's just one check away from losing it all. And there's a broken man I know. He's barely holding on to her. Just trying to get back up from his last fall. And me, I'm dealing with my own trials. And no one else can see without Jesus.
Y'all don't mind if I use that song. I never get tired of it. One place they were talking about Jesus, they said, never a man spake like this man.